The words of our text this morning are taken from the letter of 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. It is not uncommon in various jails and prisons for the security officers to have to be on what they call suicide watch for a particular prisoner. Sometimes even for those whose crime was not necessarily going to put them on death row. It's an interesting concept that sometimes a prisoner's own conscience troubles him to such an extent and actually comes to bear with a more firm and difficult sentence on him than the very court of law that may have tried him by the government. That little courtroom in your heart can be a very powerful voice. It can be a very accusing voice sometimes, and it can get kind of oppressive. It's a very private thing. It's very personal. Nobody else hears that voice. Nobody else hears its pronouncements and judgments, and yet it can be so demanding of you. When Jesus' disciple Peter witnessed the great catch of fish, he suddenly came and fell before Jesus, realizing once again that this truly was the Son of God, and dropped to his knees and said, "Get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Now, nobody else could see anything. Nobody else could maybe right on the spot come up with some reason for this, but inside of him, his conscience was telling him, "I need to put distance between me and this holy God." What was it? When Isaiah the prophet was called by God and was given a glimpse of God and his glory with the holy angels and so on, we're told that he just crumbled in fear before God, this great man of God, and yet crumbles in fear and says, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am unclean." What was it? What was it that maybe nobody else saw or knew about him, but his own conscience was testifying to him? I can become very adept at manipulating what other people see about me and what other people know about me. But when it comes to the internal spiritual rot that's inside of me, that my little courthouse in my mind and heart knows all too well, and that I know God knows all too well, that's a whole different matter. I can spend the entire day walking around and talking to people and doing all the right things and saying all the right things and making sure that everybody who sees you and knows you and responds to you thinks of you as this wonderful, pious, religious person and so on. But then when you go to your bed at night and you lay your head on your pillow and the only voice talking to you is your conscience in those solitary moments and you reflect back upon your day and the things that you've done and said, and maybe even some of those good things that people were praising you for was purely for pride, and that little courthouse inside of you passes a completely different justice on you. Completely different sentence. All the pretense of who you are before man is gone. And that's when the guilt can arise. King David said this in Psalm 32, "When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand, God, was heavy upon me." No one can honestly stare into the spiritual mirror of God's law too long. But our consciences can also be such a fickle courtroom. In one instance, in one moment, they can cause us to feel such guilt or to be so careful about a particular commandment and making sure that we do or say something a certain way. And yet, in the next moment, it turns a blind eye to all of God's commands and permits us to wander off toward a gross sin. Peter, our Lord's disciple, confesses at one moment, his conscience stirs up in him to confess that he would be willing to die with Christ. And yet just hours later, he's denying he even knows who he is. And yet just moments after that, he's filled with contrition and his eyes are full of tears. And for many, this struggle that goes on inside of us and this pain that we feel can become a great burden. I remember one of my seminary professors used to say, quoting Walther, "Be very careful how you preach to people. Be careful not to paint a false picture of a Christian as if he's always happy, as if he's always cheerful." One of the vital signs of faith, Christian faith, is when your heart feels sin and knows it and is troubled by it. It may be weak faith, it may be faith that needs strengthening, but at least something's alive. When it comes to repentance, the world mocks and ridicules it, but we're told the angels unseen rejoice. Society takes no time to dwell upon it or think very highly of it, but heaven breaks into celebration. The words of our text from John remind us that there is a much, much higher court. On account of Christ and his vicarious work for you on the cross, God has rendered a different verdict on your sin, and his is the higher court. The lower court of your conscience that convicts you may still yell at you and accuse you. The lower court of the judgment of men may condemn you. Even the lower court of satanic influences and whispers may trouble you. But they must all give way to the higher court of divine justice. If our heart condemns us, God, because of Christ, is greater than our hearts. You see, your conscience is right when you've sinned. That little voice in you, that courtroom in you, is right when you've sinned. You have done a great offense to God. You have offended him. But now don't do a greater offense to that same God by declaring him to be a liar, that somehow his grace couldn't cover you in your sin, that somehow the forgiveness that Christ paid for with his holy blood on the cross just wasn't quite enough for someone like you. Don't do a greater offense to God now by denying his entire grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Imagine you were in a car accident and you suddenly woke up. You'd been unconscious and you woke up and you found yourself in the middle of an ambulance racing toward a hospital. And as you looked around you, you saw all of the things that were being used now to support your life and to keep you healthy. And you saw the paramedics working on you. It would be very obvious to you what this vehicle you were in was all built around: you and your problem and your health concerns. When you look at the Church of God and the mission of his ministry in this world, the means of grace, baptism for the forgiveness of sins, the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins, the absolution, then the preaching of the gospel to make sure that sinners know their sins are forgiven. It should be obvious to you that you as a sinner are exactly the reason why God has designed all of this. It is that very condition of ours that we need his grace so desperately that God has built this around. And so when you and your conscience are keenly aware of your guilt, you couldn't be in any better place for the mission of Christ, who says to you, "Come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen. Please rise as we join in prayer. We turn to page 151, collect number 33. Lord God, Heavenly Father, through your holy word, you have called us into your vineyard. Send, we beseech you, your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may labor faithfully in your vineyard, shun sin and all offense, obediently keep your word and do your will, and put our whole and only trust in your grace, which you have bestowed upon us so abundantly, through your Son, Jesus Christ, that we might obtain eternal salvation through him, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.